lift my spirits. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12 today. The title of the message is Defeating Evil with Light. Defeating Evil with Light. So we're going to talk here a little bit. We're going to start in Romans chapter 12. Let's pray first. Amen. God, you are good and mighty and awesome in every way. And we certainly are very thankful, God, to be able to come and praise the Lord, to sing and clap our hands, to shout for joy, to commune together, to give our offering, to hug one another, to just be in sweet fellowship with you, of course, God, but with one another as well. And I know, God, it's important for you. I believe, God, your word says it's important for us to be together, one to another. Some of the hardest things, Father, we maybe do is have to work through all of our stuff with one another to be unified. But God, it is beautiful, God, when we come together, when we are unified, when we are close to one another, when we overcome all of our many differences, and they are many. And God, we can still be unified because of you and because of your son, Jesus. So we thank you, Jesus, for your death on the cross for us. We thank you, Jesus, for giving us the opportunity to be in relationship with you and with one another. And we're totally privileged. God, we really are. We are some of the most privileged people on earth. And God, help us to sort of own that, to realize how the responsibility we have, God, to be able to open your word, to be able to pray together, to be able to overcome our differences, to be able to carry your light, Father, to the lost world around us. And so, God, this morning, God, please guide us, lead us, comfort those that need to be comforted. God, you know, as always, make uncomfortable any of us that need to be made uncomfortable. And in the name of your Jesus, in your name, Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen. In the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Really going to focus here on this last part, but I'm going to read the whole thing. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, I love that the Spirit saw fit to say, you know, this is your spiritual act of worship, and that is to offer your bodies as living sacrifices to God. That our worship is not our singing. You know, that's a small part of it, but it is offering ourselves entirely to God. That is our worship. And in that way, it doesn't matter what it is, then we are totally committed to God. Amen. It says, don't conform to the patterns of the world, but instead be transformed. I love that. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourself, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low positions. Do not be conceited. And finally, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for the Lord's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to eat. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. It's only going to be a heat who on their heads. Amen. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Really great stuff, right? I mean, that's a sermon in of itself. I mean, we have such an incredible blessing and responsibility as disciples of Jesus. Amen. We're to offer our bodies as sacrifices and to be humble. And God calls us to be humble because he knows how tempted we are to get a little proud and full of ourselves at times. And so we sometimes won't even want to fellowship with one another and be in right relationship with one another. And of course, we don't associate with people of low position either. Amen. So God calls us to be sober minded constantly. Remember who you are. I love the call to love. And it says love must be sincere. And we need to hate the things that are evil and cling to the things that are good. But our message today is to not be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. Defeating evil with light. Defeating evil with light. Have you ever noticed? I think you have. But just how angrier our culture tends to get. We're angrier. We're angrier people. We're a little bit more hostile toward one another. We're a little bit more tense with one another. And I know this is generally speaking, and maybe in your workplace, you have a happy workplace. Amen. If you do, that's great. Maybe your neighborhood is one of those happy neighborhoods. That's awesome. But generally speaking, doesn't it seem like we're just a little bit more angry, a little bit more hostile? You know, I was looking at some stats, and it says in the 1990s, about 80% of Americans approved of the death penalty, this sort of retribution, this sort of this payback, if you will. But 80% of Americans, if you go back farther than that, probably a higher percentage, but when they were tracking in the 1990s, about 80% of Americans, you know, believe the death penalty was a good thing. Today, that's dropped to under 60%. You know what you feel about the death penalty or not? That's not the point here. But interestingly enough, while I go, well, it seems like we're a little bit of a less violent society. But interestingly enough, that nearly 25% of Americans today believe that violence is necessary against your political opponent. Yeah. About 25% of Americans say, you know, violence might be necessary against my political opponent. Go. Wow, I thought we were becoming less violent. So we're not necessarily going to go after the people, pay back the people who have committed crimes. But if you have an idea that's different than mine, then you will pay for it. You know what I mean? Again, not trying to make a statement. I'm just saying that it seems like, and Alex brought this up the other week, it was like, you know, like we used to not talk about politics, but the statistics show that we're actually talking about it more, and we're actually getting more angry about it. We're more divided about it, and you can feel the tension, right? That's not something that's been growing in our culture, right? I say that to say that we are maybe becoming a little less punitive, or maybe more punitive. I don't really know what to make of those stats. But I will tell you this, is that as disciples of Jesus, amen, we have to be the people that we overcome evil with light. That we can't conform any way to the patterns of this world. And the patterns of this world, they tend to go the way of anger, frustration, frankly, the world is just evil. There's evil around us, and I'm telling you, it wants to have us. Point number one, evil isn't just out there, brothers and sisters. It wants to take over us. There isn't just evil out there. It has a plan to take over us. Evil is relentless and conquering. It seeks to harden hearts, to fuel bitterness, to tempt us into darkness, right? And the real threat, it isn't always just external. Evil, it wants to change us and make us something like itself. And it sometimes is more obvious and sometimes it's more subtle. Like the preacher once said, the devil isn't around the corner with a red suit on and going, aha, you know? Didn't think I was here, did you? No, far more subtle than that. Vengeance is on the rise. But we are called to be people of light, right? And so we need to see these things that are happening, and we have to fight to be counterculture. We have to fight to realize that, man, Satan is trying to, he wants to have us, and evil wants to have us, but we have to be very diligent about how we act. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I think it illustrates this really well for us. Are you with me? Ephesians 5, this is one of those chapters in the Bible. As a young Christian, when I read it, it scared me. I went, wow, this pinpoints everything. It makes so much sense. In chapter 5, and it says in verse 3, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And go on, but you kind of get the picture here, right? Is that, you know, among us, there shouldn't even be a hint of these things. I remember studying that out. So a hint of sexual immorality is not actually just sexual immorality, a hint of it. It kind of looks sort of like you might be, you know, in a bad way. Not a hint of greed. Not a hint of these things. You see, the Bible calls us to a standard that's so different. It is counterculture. It says, no, let no one deceive you to think that, well, that's okay. It's really not that bad. Or here's my favorite one. Well, no one's perfect. You know what I mean? That's the one that lets you off the hook. Well, no one's perfect. You know what I mean? The Bible says not even a hint of these things. But it says, but we're light. You once were darkness. Of course, God knows we're not perfect. Amen. Which is why he gives us so much grace and mercy and forgiveness, amen? But evil, it's not just out there, brothers and sisters. It desires to have us. Which is why we've got to be the people that we're constantly people of the book, amen? in his word, reading regularly, because these are the things that he wants to tempt us with. And it starts sometimes with a hint, you know what I mean? With a hint. It's just, it kind of looks sort of like, and Satan just, the evil, it wants to take control. Are you with me? I love this point here. It says it's shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. You know, do I talk more about what the disobedient are doing than about what the obedient are doing? See, that's how evil wants to have its way with us, right? I mean, not only is there evil things that are going on, but man, take a picture of it, take a video of it, post it, send it to a friend, send it around, whip it around. Let's keep the evil going. Let's make sure that we do all we can to name and blame and shame. Amen. Isn't that what evil does? You find yourself, right? You find yourself, you're kind of on whatever, Instagram, talk, Twitter, whatever it is. Twitter talk, Graham. Twitter talk, Graham. All right. So you're on there. I woke them up. You see that? They're up. You're on there. You know you shouldn't be in, you know, you're like, this is just not right. But you can't pull yourself away. It's like evil just sucks you in. Isn't that how it works? We know better, amen. But the Bible calls us to a different way. I say this, say the evil is just not out there, brothers and sisters. It desires to suck us in, to pull us in. Don't give in to the temptation of evil, amen. Isn't that the biggest thing we have to overcome as Christians? It's just like, man, evil is out there. And I think it's appropriate for us to sometimes talk about, you know, there's evil things out there that want to possess us, that want to have us, that want control of your mind and your heart. And the only way to resist is with God's word and with prayer and, frankly, with one another. Amen. And with my final point too, with goodness. Goodness, not retaliation. That is the weapon of Christianity, amen. Our weapon is goodness. Our weapons are the goodness we can do. And so this is Mission Week here upcoming. And we were able to go down to St. Patrick. Yeah, we were able to go down to the St. Patrick's house in the city, our small group. Wanda works at St. Patrick's house, and she got us in, and so we were able to go down and serve the homeless and some of our people. Not everyone was able to be there, and so there's a couple of pictures here. I caught Tyler in a bad look here, but Tyler and Fidel, they're rolling silverware for the homeless, and Robin is getting the plates ready, and so we were able to serve the people that were in the shelter there. And then we were able to go out on the street, and because not everyone is able to stay in the shelter, so we were able to go out on the street, so they provide a hot meal for the people that come by. And it's really great to be with this guy that does this work. I mean, he's funny. I couldn't understand some of the stuff he was saying, but, you know, he was ordering me around like... Like, he was paying me, you know what I mean? Come here. Get over there. I'm like, all right. But I did what I was told, amen, because I didn't want to get in trouble. Robin did get in trouble with him, though. She wasn't doing what she was supposed to be doing fast enough, so she was supposed to turn those trays the other way. Anyway, that's beside the point. But Kate was there as well with us, and Abigail, the baby, was there. But it was really good. And so they open up the door. And they just hand out meals. And it was so powerful to see the people that came by. So grateful, thankful, smiles. He knew a lot of them by name. It was great for me. I was trying to make eye contact with everyone that came. You know, because I really wanted to dignify them. And And it was one gal that came and had beautiful eyes. And I said, you have beautiful eyes. And I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't say that. But she, you know, because I wasn't trying to be weird, but it probably was weird. I don't know. I just said it. Amen. But it was really good. Amen. I hope your group is doing something. Amen. I'm bragging on my group here a little bit. I'm really bragging on Wanda and the group. It was really a great time. But that's goodness. Amen. That's the good. These are the good things we can do, the good things we ought to be doing. Amen? That is. You know, goodness is not passive. Goodness requires courage. Goodness even requires restraint. Goodness requires humility. And goodness requires radical love. Sincere love, which Romans calls us to. Goodness calls for sincere love. Not that fake pretend love, but sincere love for God and for others, for humans, for people. People that are in the most difficult of situations. And it was good. I basically got a sermon from this guy talking to me about he's been there for over 20 years and how he's been meeting the needs of these people for 20 years. And it was heart moving for me. It was convicting for me for sure. And we've done things for the poor before as a church. We used to do the Thanksgiving meals and things like that and clothes. We've done all those things before, but yesterday was pretty special for me, amen. But goodness requires that. And there's plenty of good that we can and should be doing. You know, Romans 8:11 says, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who has raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. You have the spirit of Jesus inside of you, and it wants to do good. Amen. It wants to do good. It wants to overcome and be counterculture. You know, Romans 12:2 says, for the joy set before me, Jesus went to the cross and he scorned its shame. You know, the cross was intended to shame Jesus. Every intent was to make him ridicule him. Him hanging there, basically naked. It was to totally shame him. To make him look awful. Bloody and beaten. We'll teach you, Jews. We'll get you in order. We'll show you, Christians. You will fall in line. But Jesus, he scorned the shame, and he still was able to do good. Consider on the cross, at his worst, having a bad day, he's able to say, today you will be with me in paradise. To the thief on the cross, he's able to show mercy even in the worst of circumstances. But that wasn't enough. He looked down at those that were gambling for his clothes and those that were about to take his life, and he goes, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Not repaying evil for evil. He could have called 10,000 angels. Amen. But instead he said, no. Father, forgive them. Mercy. Because Jesus is just good. Always extending mercy and grace and forgiveness where it is maybe least deserved. Where it doesn't make any sense at all. But I'm not going to be overcome by evil. Jesus will overcome evil with good. And that's the spirit that lives inside of all of us. Amen. That's the spirit that is inside of each one of us that wants to overcome whatever evil we're faced with good. Good is our weapon. Amen. It's our greatest weapon. Let's use it to overcome the evil. Amen. James 4:17 says, if you know the good you should do and you don't do it, it's sin. There is good. Any good we should be doing. If we don't do it, we are sinning. So I want to encourage you to overcome all the evil around you with good. It's so tempting instead, right, to retaliate. It's a lot easier than kind of name, blame, and shame. It's a lot easier to go down the road of retaliation and to videotape it, to post it, to send it around, repost it, right? It's much easier to do that, it seems, sometimes. Which is why goodness, it takes restraint. It takes courage. It takes faith. It takes trust in God. But I believe the Jesus inside of all of us can do it. Amen. So I'll ask you this. Where have you been tempted to retaliate? Or maybe where are you retaliating? And who could you bless and pray for and serve instead of retaliating? Who could you be a blessing to? Who could you pray for? Who could you serve instead of retaliating? And what darkness in our culture am I called to shine light into this week? Where's the darkness you're going to face this weekend? Where is it? And how can you shine light into it? Amen. I believe evil invites us to play the power game and invites us to sort of claim our thing, be proud. It invites us constantly, flex your muscles. But Jesus, he invites us to sort of absorb, maybe, to respond with kindness, to overcome evil. He invites us to go the extra mile. He invites us to love when no one else loves. He invites us to live a resurrected life. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you. Help us to resist the pull of darkness, of evil that's around us. God, give us eyes that can see, God, when, or even sense or feel, God, when these things are happening. God, teach us to reflect your light, not to reflect darkness. God, help us to leave room for your wrath, to trust, God, that you know what you're doing, that in due time you will come, you will do what you need to do. Or, Father, you may choose to forgive. I don't know how you'll deal with things. But God, just help us to get rid of any bitterness that is so easy to cling to us. God, help us to get rid of any sort of hint of any kind of impurity or morality or greed or anything like that that's wanting to cling to us. God, help us to live pure lives, righteous lives. Help us to be like you, Jesus. Thank you for being such an incredible example. And Jesus, even when things were so bleak, you still found a way to be merciful and to be forgiving and to express love and kindness for God, for us when we deserved it the least. We love you. Help us to be people of mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.